keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again, move little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you, I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio once again with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV. Thank you for tuning in and joining us here at the Anti-Media as we try to decode all this propaganda that's going on all over the place with the media and all over the world with all this news and everything that's going on. So many different things. What are we going to get into tonight? I mean, you name it. Anybody that wants to join us in this conversation, feel free to call us. 718-717-8296 is our phone number. Once again, it's 718-717-8296. If we're talking about anything that you're interested in or you disagree with or agree with, whatever. Either way, it doesn't matter. Give us a call. Join the conversation. You want to start a debate. You want to make a roundtable. Either way, it doesn't matter. Make sure you also catch us Monday through Friday. The show's not just one night a week. I, myself, and DB Schwartz, my co-host, who's joining us on the line as we speak, do the show Monday and Wednesday, and then Tuesday, Thursday is done by SM Gibson, Friday by LaVon. DB, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing really good, Nick. It's beautiful up here, man, so I can't complain.
Yeah, we're having some nice weather here. Can't say the same for Texas. I know they're still reeling from those floods, and that sucks. But, you know, these kind of natural disasters tend to keep happening. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say it's because of global warming or climate change, but I'm not going to sit here and say it's not either.
It is.
Either way, it's something that people need to be prepared for, you know, whether it's massive amounts of rain or if you're in the southeast, it might be hurricanes, or down here, it's, you know, in San Diego, it's earthquakes and wildfires and tsunamis and that kind of thing. It's always good to be safe, man. And we talk about this all the time, and, you know, getting away from relying on, you know, all this stuff that relies on the grid. And it's not only good for natural disasters, but it's a good practice to, you know, do all the time, pretty much. You know, getting more self-reliant for things and going that route, it's always better because you're not relying on other people, and therefore you don't have as much leverage to be used against you. In times of, you know, need, I guess you could say. Anyway, we got this big story right now, and I wish I would have been able to get Kerry on the show tonight, but the story, we just posted it a little while ago, and it was a little too late to ask her to be on the show on that short notice. Anyway, it's about 10 stories that people may have missed while this whole Caitlyn Jenner thing has been going off. And of course, if anyone listening has read the article, we're not trying to devalue you know, the coming out of Caitlyn Jenner, and it is a huge step forward for the fans community, you know, and for, you know, acceptance of that thing. Because for the longest time, you know, being transsexual has been such a taboo thing, and it's been such a class of people that have been oppressed for a long time, looked down upon, made fun of, whatever, bullied. And, you know, hopefully this whole thing with Caitlyn Jenner will help shed some more, you know, bring some more acceptance to people that are in the trans community and stuff. But at the same time, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but it's such a media contrived story, because we had Chelsea Manning, an actual hero for our country, going through this battle. And yet we're going to splash this guy's face all over because he's a good little puppet. Or she, I should say.
Exactly. Yeah. You know that, and you know that's the thing, is that while this is something that is positive, there is the huge inconsistency when it comes to Chelsea Manning, and of course, the media is not going to treat Chelsea Manning with any kind of celebrity appeal, because Chelsea Manning is the one. Anyone not familiar is the whistleblower that leaked a lot of these documents to WikiLeaks, which made the media look like shit, right? So of course they're not going to, of course the media is not going to talk about Chelsea Manning and her transition from Bradley to Chelsea and that, but they are going to talk about this, you know, Jenner, you know, controversy.
And they tried to use it against her by saying that this is an unhinged individual with mental issues who has identity problems, and basically was, you know, berated to the point that, his military service became her nightmare in a way, because she couldn't live according to the way she felt. Yet with Jenner, this guy, this media, you know, frenzy came out of nowhere. And really, why? I mean, why is this getting more attention? What is it doing to us as a society to distract us? And the issue should have been taken place years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. There's a definite media hypocrisy when it comes to the treatment between Chelsea and Caitlyn. When it comes to Chelsea, as you were saying, the media used it as, oh, it's some kind of bad thing. It's like, oh my God, this person is guilty because look at them, they're trans and stuff like that. And so that's how it was used before. And now all of a sudden there's a 180, and now the media is like, oh, this is awesome. And even Fox News is talking about how hot Caitlyn Jenner is and stuff. And you're right, man. I think that while on one hand it is a good thing, on the other hand, there is a lot of stuff that's been glossed over since this story took the airwaves and basically took over the news narrative. And so we've compiled 10 stories here that we covered on the anti-media this week, and partially from other websites and other sources and stuff like that, documents. We've compiled 10 stories that people need to know about, besides what's going on with Caitlyn Jenner. And so I want to go into this because Monday we spent a large majority of the show warning people about what could happen. And Monday night, you know, keep in mind, Monday night, that's when the Patriot Act expired at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And for during the show Monday night, we were for the first time not worried that the NSA was spying on us. Now, coincidentally, we did have some technical issues on that show on Monday, and I'm not trying to blame the NSA or anything. Maybe the NSA was helping us connect our radio show before.
Thanks, Will.
But yeah, man, that's we warned about this on Monday, and basically what we were talking about is how the Patriot Act was not renewed. It expired Monday evening at 5 p.m. Eastern. But we warned about the USA Freedom Act that was being talked about in the Senate coming Tuesday morning. And that's exactly what happened. As we warned, the Senate debated it for a short amount of time. Then they passed it pretty much overwhelmingly, bipartisanly. The only people that dissented away from it were the few people in there that actually care about your rights. And it was pushed through by the establishment Republicans and Democrats. And then within hours, Obama signed it. The USA Freedom Act became law. And for those not knowing, I mean, you know, this is a big story that we talked about last week a lot, this whole thing with the controversy with the Patriot Act. And then Rand Paul came in and filibustered the Patriot Act. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of cheering that stuff on. But the reality of the scenario is that when it comes down to the NSA spying on you, the only thing that changed is who holds that data before it gets spied upon. And that's the only thing that's changed. It went from the NSA data center holding all that data to Verizon or AT&T or whoever your data provider is. To now they're going to hold all that data, and the government's going to pay them to hold it, and they're going to, and the government's going to still get access to it without warrant, as long as it goes through the FISA courts, which is how it's been going the whole time. But according to the documents leaked by Edward Snowden, the FISA courts don't ever check. They actually never provide a check and balance to these applications that do surveillance on people. You know, it was some crazy, crazy small amount, less than 1% of the times that the NSA applies to spy on people gets turned down by these FISA courts. And so, you know, this is still
warrants. They got the dirt on them.
What was that?
I was going to say, man, when you have a surveillance state, it's literally impossible to shut it down without a popular intellectual uprising, meaning people will refuse to take it anymore. And the reason why is anybody that could enforce a stoppage of this is has dirt on them, man, and they already have it all. Any little dirty thing they've ever done on the internet or probably even in real life, they got it.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes especially for the lawmakers, you know, these guys, the guys in Congress and stuff, the ones that actually vote on this stuff. Because keep in mind, I mean, we're not actually voting for the Patriot Act to be renewed. We're voting for these politicians to go up there, and then those politicians get to vote on it. And
they're compromised.
Exactly.
And it's been proven time and again.
Yeah, and all those guys have dirt on them. If you look back at the whole scenario with Obama when he entered the Senate, the NSA records show that as soon as Obama became a senator, the NSA started swooping all of his data. So as soon as he started gaining this likelihood that he was going to become president, well, then guess what? The NSA is able to come up and they're able to say, hey, Obama, come here, buddy. I know you want to do these nice things and hope and change and stuff, but here's what you're really going to do. Because we got all this NSA data, we got all this blackmail material, all this stuff that we could use to make you do whatever the hell we want, and we will use it if you don't listen to us. And that's the problem.
They prop up on purpose people that they are able to identify using deviant behavior, things that are patently illegal, but they're powerful people. And what they do is they go, hey, we found the sites you've been on online, or we followed you to that brothel, and we're going to tell your wife everything if you don't run for this open seat. And that's how the perpetual cycle continues, man. You have blackmail that makes policy that's absolutely harmful to the public continue to get passed, because these guys make a lot of money, and they know if they stop playing the game, everything comes out about them, or they just get erased, man. It's just really that simple.
This is all textbook J. Edgar Hoover, you know, stuff, right? And you know, we think about it, and people like to say, oh yeah, the government didn't used to be this bad and stuff, and you know, it used to be better, and we didn't used to have the Patriot Act, and they used to respect our rights and stuff. But then you think about it, and you're like, well, what about J. Edgar Hoover? He was doing this stuff for a long time ago, and he was blackmailing people and you know, compiling data on people. You think that those programs got reformed? No, they grew bigger.
They're monsters bigger. Now.
They became the NSA. It no longer was just, yeah, oh, it's just the FBI program that compiles, you know, paperwork on people. Now it's the NSA that compiles every bit of data that you send and receive.
I mean, imagine this, dude. They could theoretically, from birth, have a mosquito drone on you for life and have everything like you're a Truman Show.
I mean, we're getting to that point pretty soon. Like, fortunately, I mean, for us that have, you know, grew up in the pre-90s and stuff like that, you know, the technology wasn't there, but now it definitely is getting there. I mean, these mosquito drones, these miniaturizations of these drones and stuff, that's becoming reality. And that, you know, it brings into question the privacy more and more by the day. If you look at the whole DARPA program, we cover it fairly extensively on the anti-media. And this is all stuff that's on the books. I mean, you don't even have to go speculate about what's going on. This stuff is happening, dude. They're building these drones. They're building these technologies to surveil everybody.
And there's a reason why there's no more lead paint. There's a reason why things happen like that, man. They want full access all the time into your life. They have it. If you have an Xbox One, I mean, you have a file terabytes long by now. I mean, it's gotten to that point. It is at that point. The miniaturization is extreme, man. I'm sure they have tick drones by now.
we're working on an article, and I don't want to spoil it for Jake. And but we are working on an article that's coming out in the next few days. It may be at the beginning of next week, but it's about a bunch of these, you know, what are perceived as children's toys that are now being embedded or, you know, having surveillance equipment put into them. And one of them, I'm sure a lot of people heard about this one a couple of weeks ago, is the Google teddy bear that they're coming out with. And
wow.
And Google says, oh, this teddy bear is going to be awesome. It's going to help all of your equipment talk to each other and this, that, and the other. It's creepy though, man. The head.
So that's why they made Ted.
When you talk to it, the head turns to you and it looks at you. It's kind of creepy. But yeah, the Google is doing this stuff, and like you said, Xbox One, there's been Barbies that have surveillance equipment in them.
Well, what does it do, Nick, when you have a quantum computer that they – I'm sure they have, and people say you can't crunch all this data. It's more than a mountain. It makes a mountain look like a molehill, and it's just so much every day that they can't possibly process it. But all you have to do is throw in that raw metadata into a quantum computer, and you get patterns. And that's how they predict the future, and that's how they get way, way more than one step ahead of everybody.
Yeah, man. And they got these supercomputers that they use, and those things are getting more advanced by the day. And, you know, just who knows? Who knows what's next? The whole point is now, though, is that we have to make efforts to rein in all this stuff. Otherwise, we are going to have Barbie dolls with surveillance equipment, teddy bears with surveillance equipment. Your TV is going to be – your Samsung TV is going to be spying on you.
But it's a human problem, Nick, because remember the great Martin Luther King said, you know, we have misguided men with guided missiles. And in as long as that's the truth, it doesn't matter how good – the defense capability of wherever we are is, if we have these psychopaths running things, we're all toast.
Exactly, man. And, you know, we're joined on the line by Manny Aguilar, and he's pretty familiar with these psychopaths and stuff. Manny, how you doing tonight, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, you know, ready to get into some real news since we're not Fox, you know. Patriot Act right now is like old news, you know, and it's been happening for too many years, you know. Right now, I'm actually worried, you know, I have my family pretty much, you know, wraps, you know, and these couple of days, if you see my cover story, what I posted, is a war has started in my country. It's official now. You know, I mean, the war has started. There's no doubt, no risk, no doubt, you know, and just from good friends of mine, good journalists undercover, and they're still undercover, and they will be undercover, and it's kind of sad. I'm really sad about that, really, because it's just something that is just, it's going to overspill into the United States, and we better be ready for it also on this side of the border.
That's Jade Helm, right? Right, Manny? That's got to be Jade Helm, right?
Well, you know, it's just kind of sad what's going on with the equipment that's, you know, going in, DB. You know, it's just too much equipment, too much arms, too many. I mean, the government in the United States does want that they control their people because they know what can happen. And it's kind of tragedy that this government is part of the killing and stuff like that and what's going on. And, you know, and then we have these, you know, like this spill that happened in Santa Barbara. My friends are out there, you know, trying to help as much as possible to clean it up. There are some good people that care about, you know, what happens to the oceans and stuff like that. And then there's a lot of people that are really sad that I know from Orange County, you know, because they were going to school with a student that got shot by a cop, you know, what else, you know, stuff like that. And it kind of, and it's kind of a distraction of what you guys started the show with about, I still say Bruce Jenner, but you know what I'm talking about, is the only reason he gets all this publicity and, you know, no disrespect to anybody, but is he's Anglo number one and he's got a lot of coin, you know, basically, you know.
Definitely, and the whole Kardashian thing, it's all part of the distraction of the U.S. public and stuff. So this is something that the media can really latch onto, and it benefits them in many ways. Those not familiar with what Manny was talking about, he's talking about the situation down in Mexico, which is something that's been very underreported, but it's boiling. It's reached a boiling point. I mean, now they're you know, taking over precincts. They're planning on shutting down the voting. I mean, what else is going on down there, Manny?
Well, basically, they have, you know, the state police and the federal police, as we speak, have been blocking and completely disrupting the normalistas. They were trying to go to Chimpaltingo, which happens to be the capital of Acapulco. They blocked them from continuing, you know, what they were doing, a big march down there. But somewhere along the line, those people are not going to give up just because they were stopped at one point. They're going to have another route and continue doing it and stuff like that. And they're just burning down precincts and stuff like that. And it just really, you know, stuff is getting, you know, really heated up in front of the Mexican consulates and stuff like that. I'm paying a lot of attention lately to that side, you know, and stuff like that. And it's got nothing to do because it's happening in my home state. It's happening in the state of Michoacán. The two main states right now, it's where it's happening in Michoacán and Guerrero, and not and no other parts of Mexico are as tough right now as it is, but it's getting tougher, you know. And one of the big tough right now in the movement right now, the biggest, you know, breakout right now is Tijuana, which happens to be right by your border, you know, stuff like that. And so it's a tough thing and stuff like that, you know. So just one of those things that I'm glad that, you know, you and Stevie, you know, I always talk about what's going on around the world because it's very important, you know. And I want to say happy birthday again to Jake Anderson.
You know, it's got to be a bigger thing than that, too. Like, I think there's a lot of things ready to pop off at the same time because one of the stories that was covered on that 10 things that the mass media didn't cover was the spy planes, Nick, and they were all over Anaheim, but they're also up here. And they're mass surveilling up here, and I have to think why. And I look at the demographics, and I look that we're on a border, and I think things are going to clamp down basically anywhere that there's any vulnerability. And that speaks to me that something's on the horizon. And this is not a drill. If anybody believes this is a drill, they don't move that kind of armaments around. It's costing billions of dollars, billions, to ship this hardware. It's not something you do for a drill. It's just not.
That's it's a very controversial, you know, move for anyone not aware. It's called JADHELM 15, and it's a military maneuver that's going on. And last show, we kind of speculated about it being preemptive training for what Manny was just talking about, as if what's going on in Mexico turns into a full-blown civil war, which, you know, there's a good chance that it will. And the fact of the matter is that if you look at the U.S. and what we've been doing in Mexico and the policy we've had towards them, it's to support the corrupt government. And we've been sending them billions of dollars in arms, Humvees. I mean, we probably even send them tanks. I know we send them helicopters.
And the cartels too, right? I mean, Fast and Furious showed that we're in bed with both of these corrupt parties, and the people of Mexico have sniffed it out. Eventually, people in the U.S. are going to wake up too, and I think they feel if it spills over, it's going to incite stuff here.
Exactly. And the government and the cartels of Mexico have taken too much from the people to the where the point now where the people can no longer be brainwashed to just believe whatever they're being told. I mean, you were here in San Diego, DB. You heard the radio advertisements from the Mexican side of the border. All of our radio stations here are broadcasted from Tijuana. And I mean, the advertisements that come out from the Mexican government, man, it's all just propaganda, brainwashing. Hey, your vote actually counts. We're not corrupt. This is like repetitive messages day after day after day. They're trying to say, hey, everybody, everything's okay. We're a real democracy. We're a real republic. And that they literally put these commercials out every day. And so the situation there in Mexico, it definitely has the potential to spill over, as Manny was saying. And, you know, it could spill into the Southwest United States. Again, it's going to be of the U.S.'s own making. Once again, it's a lot of this is you know, fueled by the drug war. A lot of this is fueled by the crony capitalism that's going on, the backdoor deals, the oil trade down in Mexico, the cartels. As DB was mentioning, you know, the Fast and the Furious scandal showed that we have been arming some of these cartels and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's really scary on JADHELM, this big maneuver. It could be preemptive training to prepare for anything spilling over into the Southwest, because that's where this whole thing is focused. That's definitely something to look into. DB, as you mentioned, the FBI, man, they're conducting the planes that you were mentioning over Anaheim. This comes from the Chicago Tribune. They're like these little single propeller planes that the FBI is now flying. Apparently the NSA wasn't good enough, so that the FBI is flying these little spy planes, intercepting a bunch of people's data and stuff like that. They were also used during the Baltimore protests to survey the protesters and the rioters and all that stuff. And not only that, but the sheriff's department are also using these Stingray devices. So we're going to go into the surveillance stuff here. The San Bernardino Sheriff's Department uses Stingray device 300 times without warrant. And the Stingray device, basically what it does is you put it in a certain area and it acts like a cell phone tower and it intercepts all the phone calls coming in and out of a certain geographical area and it reroutes them through their own servers where they can capture all this data. And then the calls and the text messages and all that stuff, it still goes through, but they're intercepting it in between. So we talked about the Patriot Act and it expired, but then they passed the USA Freedom Act. Even if they wouldn't have passed the USA Freedom Act, they're still spying on people with the FBI, with the Sheriff Department, you know, and who knows all these other countless ways.
The Freedom Act, but people have to understand the Freedom Act's not changing anything. It's just changing who's doing it. And it's actually taking away liability from the government, putting it on the private sector. And guess what? The private sector is not beholden to anybody, so you can't vote them out. So imagine this conundrum. You have massive spying, supposedly for national security, being done by private contracting that goes to the paycheck, which can be bought off. So you want to see our national security go away? There it is.
Yeah. Well, I want to mention about national security, you know, and talking about how a double standard there is. You know, when we were talking about Baltimore and all this thing going on, protesting against whoever and all that. Now you got these haters that are protesting out there, you know, trying to make money at the same time for the protection, with this guy for the protection. They're armed to the max, and they have these shirts to say F, you know, basically anything that's got to do with Muslims, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And it's just crazy, you know. I mean, and they were armed. Imagine if I was armed and stuff like that, and I was at a protest at Monsanto Woodland headquarters in California, you know. I would not get the same privilege of being able to carry my, you know, weapon with me, you know.
Yeah, and that's a small minority, thankfully. But I know what you're saying, Manny. All these things are there to incite. All these things are there to divide. They're not there to bring about a light to issues that need to be worked out, because they're not providing any solutions. They're just telling us, look, you guys are all different and you guys hate each other. Meanwhile, we're going to take everything you have and you're going to all be in a third world status as soon as the economy drops out. And you're going to be distracted by Caitlyn Jenner and everything else. And you're not going to focus on taking us down because we're ruining your lives.
Yeah, that's correct, actually.
Propaganda 101, man. And it's working pretty well because a lot of people didn't even know about the USA Freedom Act. And even the people that did, you know, the thing about it is that the media is sitting there selling it as some kind of reform to the bulk data collections. Like, NSA no longer collecting bulk data. And, like, they're not lying because the NSA isn't collecting the bulk data. It's that the NSA is just having someone else do it for them. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's so Orwellian. They're like, oh, bulk data as we know it is no longer being collected. It's like, but it's still being collected in ways that we don't know it. You know what I mean? It's like so crazy.
It's liability free and transparency free mass surveillance that we can't really do anything about. What are we going to do? Go to every little company and burn it to the ground? I mean, do people even have the balls to do that? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, man. And it's completely being fed to us as something it's not. So hopefully everyone listening out there can go look into this USA Freedom Act. Look at the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They're an advocacy group for internet rights and stuff. And look what they have to say about it. And, you know, there are a few good things about the USA Freedom Act. Let's not forget about that. I mean, it does put in place a few more, I like to call them technicalities, as far as the government being able to access your data. But in the end, it doesn't curtail mass surveillance, and we're being lied to if anyone says that it does. So that's just what it is, and it is what it is. Now, Manny brought this up a little bit earlier. The young man killed out in Long Beach, Faraz Morad. It's a very mysterious circumstances surrounding his death. He was killed by the Long Beach police after he fell out of a second-story window. No one knows how he fell out of it, but he was unarmed. Cop showed up and ended up killing him. But the thing also with this case is that NBC, the local NBC affiliate down there, did an interview with one of the witnesses. And they edited the video down to make it look like this guy was guilty. And there was someone else there that had a cell phone video or was taking video of the interview being done by NBC. And so we were able to see the full interview and we were able to see the edited interview and we were able to see, holy shit, they try to make this guy out to be a criminal when they didn't even show the full, you know, gist of what the witness was trying to say. You know, so that's something that needs to be kept in mind when we see this crap on TV. We all know if they're telling the truth, they're only telling part of it, and normally they're just manipulating. These guys are really good at, just like this thing with the USA Freedom Act, they're really good at spinning words to make it seem like, oh, we're much better now. But in reality, it's like, oh, yeah, it's not being collected by the NSA. It's just being collected by these other guys now. So big deal. But yeah, this is what the media tends to do, man. They make people like Mike Brown and Eric Garner out to be criminals, and this young man, Faris Murad from Long Beach, out to be criminals, when the reality of the situation is often much different than what they're trying to put out there. So that's just something to keep in mind and just understand that the corporate media is, you know, got a major agenda to uphold, and that is maintaining the status quo, because without the status quo, guess what? The mainstream media is dead, so they don't want that.
Division and distraction department, that's all they are.
Exactly, and actually, you know, that's why activists and live streamers are very important, so that you can get the real story and stuff like that, you know. And so basically, as an activist, I say we are not going to stop till people are free, you know. And I basically, you know, sang that song last night for SM Gibbs, you know. I can't hear my neighbor crying. I can't breathe. Now I'm in the struggle and I can't leave. Calling out the violence of the racist police. We ain't going to stop till people are free. We ain't going to stop till people are free.
Nice, yeah, man. I mean, this is what we need to do. I mean, with enough people coming together and opposing all this shit that's going on. And, man, I was looking at today when I was doing some research on this whole Caitlyn Jenner thing. I was looking at the posts coming from the mainstream media and stuff. And I was realizing, man, that their articles aren't getting shared nearly as often as our article did, the one about 10 things you missed while this story was being talked about. They're not getting as much reach, but they are benefiting from this manufactured buzz that's going on. And, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. I think that many times it seems like the fight is so far from being won. But in many ways it's not. But I think there's a middle point in between, because we also have to remember that we're talking about generational struggle. Our ancestors fought through these same struggles. The ancestors of our ancestors, fought, you know, 4 or 5,000 years ago, have been fighting through these same struggles for the past, you know, millennia. But I think now with, you know, we're starting to see the shift and it's materializing. So it's just important that people don't give up. I know the police accountability movement, it's hard to maintain all the momentum after huge actions like that went on in Ferguson and Baltimore and stuff like that. It's hard to keep that going.
They need to be privatized, Nick. I think we're starting to realize if the government wants to demonize police and federalize them so they have total control, then we as a society at large have to go the opposite way. Police need to be privatized, stock should be sold, and that way we're shareholders in the community and we can fire these idiots.
That's right.
Well, there's a balance that has to be made, right? Because as you see with the privatization of the prison system and stuff like that, it's working out in the wrong way. You know what I mean?
Well, but let's just say a community, like you're a guy and you live there, you already have a share. See, a private prison, nobody lives around prisons. Nobody cares what happens to prisoners. So the best thing we can do is control the police. That way they don't fill the prisons and the prisons die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, Nick, you said something about all this thing with police brutality and stuff that's been going on in the moment and stuff like that. It brings me to a story that happened in 1921. It was called Black Wall Street, and that happened in the riots of Tulsa, Oklahoma. when the KKK just came in and wanted to just basically destroy, you know, a black community that was doing really good, prospering to the point that they were called, you know, Little Africa, and they were known as Black Wall Street and stuff like that. And they just completely disrupted the whole neighborhood and tore it down, you know.
Yeah, I recently heard about that too, and I just—it's unbelievable to see what has gone on in this country. I also just found out from a story that we posted today, another one that Jake did, about the whole story that we were told back in school about the buffalo and how the buffalo almost went extinct, and they told us that the white man went through and just killed all the buffalo for fun, and then sometimes they took the skin and just left the meat right laying there. I mean, that's basically the story everyone was taught in school. Come to find out today, after doing some research, I find out that they were trying to make the buffalo extinct to try to starve out the Native Americans. They were actually trying to kill off the entire buffalo, the entire animal species of buffalo, in order to make the Native Americans go into the reservations. I mean, this is completely sick, twisted shit that we never even hear about, man. And it's kind of like that really popular meme about how we never heard about Tesla in our you know, history books and stuff. It's like the same thing, man. They really changed like killing the buffalo for fun is bad enough, right? That's stupid. That's horrible. I can't believe people would do that. But they were killing the buffalo to try to starve people. I mean, that's a million times worse. You know what I mean?
But,
you know, we just don't hear about this kind of stuff in the regular history books, and it's up to us to, you know, go in and do the research later on. And thanks to the internet, it really unlocks a lot of the information that a lot of people probably knew was bullshit from the beginning. But now it's actually accessible, unlike, you know, it was maybe even 20 years ago. Information wasn't nearly as accessible as it is now. So I'm gonna move on here to the next story here, because this one is kind of a positive story, and this is number 4 in our list of the 10 stories you may have missed. But there's a new bill that's being advanced in the Senate by Cory Booker from New Jersey, Barbara Boxer from California, which is going to force the cops everywhere around the country to report all instances of use of force. And so it'll really, if this bill goes through, one, it'll be at least somewhat of a accountability apparatus to hold the cops to a standard of saying, look, dude, we're going to know how violent you were, and this is going to be public record, so you better not be, you know, just killing people left and right. But also it's going to allow us to get a gauge on the amount of people actually being hurt by the cops, because right now only 750 police departments out of 17,000 actually report the data that this bill is going to cover. So this
how is that not mandatory? I mean, honestly,
for real, man, it's like, how is this not already happening? That's a good question. And that's kind of how the article was framed up too. It was about time that this kind of stuff comes in. But again, this is a law that it's not signed yet. It's in the Senate. And so this is something people can kind of support. Next case here. This one is about the TSA, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard this, and it's kind of, I don't know how to take this. Is it funny? Is it sad? Is it horrible? There was a recent investigation of the DHS, and the undercover agents were able to sneak 95% of the weapons and fake explosives through the airports. 95% of the times that they tried to sneak weapons and stuff, they were successful. And we all know, anyone that's been to an airport recently, we all know having to deal with this TSA thing and the long lines and the taking everything out of your pockets and your belt and your laptop and your shoes and all that stuff, and then going through the x-ray machine, which has been called into question as far as health-wise. And then if they decide to, they can go search you and fondle you and do whatever. There's been recent cases, whistleblowers from the TSA that said that there was male TSA agents that were stopping male passengers because they wanted to grope them. I mean, this stuff is sick and twisted. Think about how many women are probably molested by these TSA people, and they get away with it under the guise of Homeland Security. So we have to deal with all that personal invasion of privacy, questionable practices that could hurt your health, all of that stuff. While at the same time, they're not even stopping the weapons that these guys are sneaking through the program. And it's also been shown that these guys have never even stopped a terrorist attack.
Now they want an expanded budget. Now they want an expanded budget, so they're going to throw more money into failed policy.
Give us more money so we could continue to not catch terrorists while molesting anyone that decides to travel. I mean, that sounds like a great deal for the U.S. taxpayer, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, you either go full Israel, which there's guys with machine guns to get in to the airport, or you just pretend that, you know, what we're doing is working, which is what the TSA does. By the way, that doesn't work. They can smuggle through almost anything they want.
Yeah, man. But I'll tell you what is working inside the airports. They are catching anybody that has large sums of money, and they're using asset forfeiture to take their money. I witnessed that when I was in Philly. They jacked two guys for their money at the airport, and they didn't even have a warrant or anything. They said, hey, you have a large sum of money. We're going to just go ahead and confiscate that from you, and if you want to get it back, then here's a huge legal process that you're going to have to go through to try to get it back. Good luck affording that. You know, and that's basically what's going on down there, dude. But at the same time, they can't catch these, you know, weapons that are going through. What in the hell is going on? Maybe they think that it's just going to be the only terror attacks that are going to go through are the ones that are manufactured by the FBI, so they know exactly who it is coming through the airport with what kind of explosive. Is that what they're expecting? I mean, what in the hell are these guys doing not catching 95% of the people coming through? That's absolutely insane.
Well, they're trying to spread it out now to, like, buses and trains. So let's just consider that the tip of the spear of indoctrination, man, for the full police state, full surveillance state, and full no rights state.
Well, ever since 9/11, and I'm sure even before that, but especially now, you can't even go to a damn, you can barely even go to a concert without having to empty your pockets and getting patted down and stuff. I mean, I don't know how it is everywhere, but I know here in San Diego, you can't even go to the county fair, dude. You can't even go to the county fair without going through a private security checkpoint that very much resembles a TSA checkpoint. So it's becoming, like you said, it's becoming a societal norm to have to just go ahead and sacrifice your own personal space, your own personal sovereignty whenever you want to go into the public where there's going to be a large amount of people. I mean,
if they could show even one time they prevented something from happening with real evidence, people would probably be on board with all this, but they can't even do that because they don't.
Yeah, there's
been, he was talking about checking planes and, you know, buses and trains and all that. Well, you know, for me, I've already seen that side of the world, except that instead of cops, you know, or, you know, TSA checking out trains and buses, I've already been checked on buses, I've been checked on trains, I've been checked, I don't care what I get in, I get checked by Border Patrol a lot of times. I can be in a damn bus right now in Los Angeles going from just, say, Beverly Hills, or not, well, I shouldn't say Beverly Hills, like, say, West Hollywood to, you know, to regular Hollywood, and Border Patrols have the power to get on the buses, and they don't check everybody. That's what really gets me. You're going to check everybody, dude, because I could be Anglo, and I can be illegally or undocumented, I like to say, you know, from Canada or Germany, you know?
Exactly, man. And, you know, there was another case of a guy that was traveling from Michigan to L.A., and he saved up a bunch of money, and his family all donated into his fund, and he was going to L.A. to become a music video producer, and he was already, you know, had already produced some music videos in Michigan and Detroit and stuff, and he was going to L.A. to start his dream or whatever. I mean, who knows if he would have succeeded or not. He didn't even get the opportunity to try because the DA boarded his train, which was an Amtrak train, and they went and they confiscated his money. And it was $15,000. They said, hey, what's this for? And he said, hey, I'm going to L.A. I'm moving there. And I'm going to start I'm gonna open a studio. I'm going to shoot videos and stuff. And I said, okay, well, good luck getting this money back. It's ours now. You know, and this is already happening, dude. I mean, this is crazy, but it's already happening. The TSA, the government coming in whenever you're trying to travel. I mean, here in San Diego, we live in, within that 100-mile non-constitutional zone where the Bill of Rights doesn't exist. So, you know, so they say, where we actually have checkpoints leaving. If you try to leave San Diego, you know, going east, northeast, or northwest, or north, I mean, which are the only three directions you can go, because if you go south, you're going to be in Mexico in 10 minutes. If you go east, you hit a checkpoint on the 8. If you go northeast, headed towards Vegas, you get a checkpoint on the 15. And if you go north, you get a checkpoint right before you get to Orange County on the way to L.A. So, I mean, it's already become the norm around here, man. And for it's only a matter of time before it becomes a norm for the rest of the country. And then what? Then nobody's going to want to travel with anything controversial. Nobody's going to want to – everybody's going to be scared to do things. Everyone's going to be nervous. I mean, this is this really a free society? Is this the kind of society you want to live in? Or is it TSA around every corner?
This whole country is supposed to be Amsterdam.
It should have been. It should have been.
That's what it was set up to be. I mean, freedom to you know, take part in commerce as long as you're not hurting other people. That leave us alone.
Exactly. And in theory, that's how it was supposed to work. But even from the very creation, it was flawed because not everybody had rights. Minorities were treated as lesser humans. They were allowed to be enslaved. Women didn't have rights. I mean, from the inception of it, it was flawed. But the ideas were pretty straightforward, is give people a lot of freedom and give people very little government to restrain them. But unfortunately, we've slid very far away from that. And the perfect example of that is this character, Marco Rubio, man. This guy, his whole platform is, hey, elect me, I'll make you even safer than you are now. And basically his whole plan is to just increase the amount of surveillance, increase the amount of security, increase the amount of militarism around the world. And this is the guy's platform, dude. And he's being set up as being the moderate with people like Lindsey Graham, Jeb Bush in the race. Marco Rubio is going to look like a moderate, and this is his platform, dude. This is what we can expect in 2016, from 2016 to 2024, is a hawkish Republican that's being sold by the media and being sold by the establishment as some kind of moderate.
Nick, that's all they got. You remember the scene in Knocked Up where he just keeps doing the dice move on the dance floor? All the government has is national security. They don't provide any other service. We can't do better decentralized. Think about that. We can do anything else but provide for our safety. And they know that, and they play it like a fiddle. And I don't know what the answer is, because we can't have privatized military. That's not going to work. So as long as we're kept in this perpetual state of warfare worldwide, as long as people stop and don't share the worldly resources and let culture divide them and race divide them, they're always going to have that last niche.
Yeah, man. And so that's one of the things that we got to break through. And we have to figure out a way. And I don't know if anybody that's really figured it out yet. And again, we don't claim to have the answers. We know that there's a lot of issues out there. But a way to unite people in a way that is at the same time decentralizing, because we don't want to unite people around a hero figure, because that's proven in the past, that's proven to be pretty detrimental and centralizing. We don't want to do that. But there's got to be a way, and hopefully someone out there in the audience comes up with it. And
you know what I tell people,
mess that we're in.
Well, you know what I tell people is basically, don't let your government put fear into you, because that's what one of the problems I see here in the United States. You know, I tell people, don't let the fear of what could happen make nothing happen, because it's really true and stuff like that, you know. So that's right now I'm on a big campaign, and I'm asking DE and, you know, Nick to vote, you know, to cast your votes and actually write down nobody for president, you know.
Well, that would. I'm going to do the same thing by not showing up.
Nobody 2016, that sounds like a campaign I might be willing to get behind. We have a caller on the line now from 205 area code. How you doing? You're on the Anti Media. Do you want to chime in on this conversation?
Yeah, man. I've just been listening in. I got a theory. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I guess I'm just – I don't know if I'm being – I mean, what if, I mean, somebody's paying for all this shit, right? I mean, paying for the TSA, the NSA. I mean, somebody is paying for all this shit. Am I correct?
I mean, we are for the most part, but
yes, you.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There's a lot of these things. Like, there's a lot of big businesses that are subsidized by us that wouldn't exist without taxes.
Exactly. And
these are some of them.
These businesses, like the one that Snowden was working for, Booz Allen, they're multi-billion-dollar businesses, and they're in place because of the NSA. They exist because of the NSA. You think these guys are going to let us just, oh, disassemble the NSA, no big deal? No. These guys have billions of dollars. They'll spend it, you know, graciously if they feel like it's going to extend their business or increase their profitability. 205, yeah, go ahead and continue, man.
Oh, well, I don't want anybody to take me serious on this theory. I don't want anybody at all to take me serious on this shit that I'm about to say. I'm a regular caller. I call in all the time on the show. I love this show. It's like Manny was saying, nobody for president. If nobody voted, why would we need a president? But at the same time, if there's a big old, I guess you can say a money bubble, an economic bubble for all this bullshit that we're paying for, why not make this shit be like the balloon that it is and make this shit explode? You know, I don't know. It's a weird theory that it's just a theory. It's not. I don't want anybody listening to this shit to take it serious. But, I mean, what if it was like a big old balloon? We just keep making this shit big and big and big and big until it pops. Like the balloon it is. And then people realize, just like the Soviet Union, this shit does not work. We need to rethink this shit.
It'd be like the Hindenburg, wouldn't it?
I think that's why they've built so many damn underground bases, man, because they know that bubble's going to pop.
Oh, it's going to pop. It's going to pop sooner or later, man. This shit is not sustainable. Our government, especially in the United States, is so fucking huge. Pardon my French. I know I'm not supposed to cuss on there. I apologize. But we know that it's so huge, man. It's not going to last because, I mean, unless we're in a, I guess you can say, a straight-up slavery in this country, in the United States, if it was just straight-up slavery, like gun to your head, you're going to do what I say, there is no way. If the government gets any bigger, dude, this bubble is going to pop.
Spot on. That's why they're trying to start World War III. Think about it. We've made our whole government predicated on warfare, and we can't fight a big war again because nukes. So what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly, man. And that's why they got all these proxy wars going on all over the place. And we posted a story yesterday about the amount of evidence that's now emerging about how the U.S. basically knew that ISIS was going to come about from their supporting of the Syrian rebels, and the surveillance industry, you know, the intelligence community predicted it. And they also said, hey, you know what, if something of an Islamic State does develop, we could use that in our favor to help destabilize Assad even worse. You know, and this is the kind of intelligence that was coming out as these guys were getting ready to start funneling arms from, you know, of many different places, including Libya, into Syria. These are the intelligence reports that these people that are making the decisions had access to. They knew that ISIS was going to be created. They knew that there was going to be a Sunni rebellion going on up there. And they said, you know what, we can use that in our favor. And so this whole crap about ISIS and stuff, and now they want to say it's this huge deal. And just like how all the crimes of these other people, you know, are fine, you know, when we're still the ones, funding Osama bin Laden when he's fighting against the USSR, we don't talk about the crimes that he does back then. But then when he becomes, you know, a problem to us, then all of a sudden, okay, now Osama bin Laden's a bad guy. Same thing with ISIS. ISIS, before ISIS became ISIS, these are the people that we were saying were the revolutionaries in Syria that were fighting for freedom, fighting for democracy.
Freedom fighters.
We started, yeah, they're the freedom fighters. We started funneling them arms. We started funneling them weapons. We started giving them money. Saudi Arabia, via our proxies in Saudi Arabia, of course, we're not doing it ourselves, getting our hands dirty. Now, there are CIA assets inside the area training people, teaching them how to use the weapons and stuff, but we don't get our hands dirty by actually sending it to them directly. Why would we do that when we have Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey right next door, and we can use those places as proxies to funnel all the arms and training into these Syrian rebels? Now, those same Syrian rebels, as predicted, became ISIS, and now all of a sudden, now we got to go fight ISIS. ISIS are bad people. They even have military bases in Texas. I mean, this is the shit that they're telling us that we got to do. And these guys just got done 2 years ago helping lay the groundwork to create what is known now today as ISIS. So what in the hell, you know, what in the hell are we even supposed to believe nowadays when it's all just pure propaganda, geopolitics? Now, one story that I don't want to forget about tonight on the show, we only have a few minutes left, but it's the TPP, because, you know, this thing is getting more heated. The European version, some more stuff was leaked about that last night via WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks has a bounty out for $100,000 for anybody that's willing to leak the full text of the TPP. I think that's kind of cool. But one of the things that we covered today on the anti-media is about how some of these countries, in particular Malaysia. Now, keep in mind, Malaysia is an enormous country. It's got a population, I think they're almost the size of the U.S. when it comes to population. But Malaysia is part of this Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and it's very much a geopolitical advantage to have them under our sphere of influence when it comes to China, because they control some of the shipping lanes that go in and out of China and this, that, and the other. But these are countries that just got degraded on the list of egregious offenders of child slavery and sex slavery, sex trafficking, traditional slavery. I mean, these are countries that are that thrive off of this stuff. And according to the America's own laws, we're not allowed to do trade with these people. So what was the answer? Instead of saying, hey, guys, you really need to fix and crack down on this human trafficking issue that you have going on in Malaysia. That's not what we did. What we did is say, okay, let's change our rules that says, okay, maybe we can trade with these people as long as they have these little stipulations that they may or may not have to follow. So we're literally we're trying to enter into the Trans-Pacific Partnership with Malaysia, who has just been degraded on the list of one of the worst offenders of slavery in the world.
I was just going to say, trade practices lead to policy, man. So when you have a global trade practice alliance, that those policies become policies with every country participating. For instance, in Vietnam, people work for what? People work for like 80 cents an hour. Do you want to compete with them?
Of course not. A lot of these big corporations – they don't want to compete with them. How can we cash in on that? How can we cut these people out over here? And how can we save a shit ton of money by using these people over there?
Exactly, man. And so what these guys are doing, and it comes down to basic economic stuff. It's like supply and demand, right? So if you got this huge supply of workers that are willing to work for $2 a day, why not tap into that and screw over all the people out here in the U.S. that are trying to get $15 an hour, you know what I mean? And this is what the TPP is going to do. And you know, this is no secret. The Obama admitted today there will be some losers in the TPP deal. Yeah, a bunch of people that are going to lose their jobs because they're making high wages. But and the thing is that compared to the cost of living in the U.S., we're not even making high wages. It's just going to make everything worse because the people that are making $15 an hour can't even afford to get a one-bedroom apartment. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be even worse because now that these $15-an-hour jobs are going to be shifted over to these $2-an-hour jobs for people in Malaysia and shit that are being enslaved. And embedded inside of this TPP legislation is already – grants and funding to retrain workers that are losing their jobs. I mean, this trade pact is going forward through Congress and supported by the president, knowing damn well that it's going to be destroying a lot of
jobs. Good night, guys.
Let that sink in. Google the TPP. Look it up on the anti-media. We got a great story on it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Catch SM tomorrow night. I'ma let them know, do the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.